I ask you to just make up your mind that you're going to listen humbly. Okay? I think that's very important. You know, whatever happens, happens. That's not a good attitude. Because Lord wants to speak to the church, and you ought to listen. You ought to listen. Okay? The title of the message for today is such a special one. Especially those who've been in church for a long time. Especially who's been going to church for a long time. Maybe you were born in a church. You know, you're in mother's womb since, you've been coming to church. You really need to listen. And the title of the message for today is, You Will Recognize Them by Their Fruits. It's an amazing, amazing statement of God, statement of Jesus. You will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus is saying, you will know the real person. Not what it seems like, but real person through the fruits of your life. Isn't it kind of like sobering? I mean, you see me, and some of you have seen me for over 15 years. Okay? And I know you don't even have to try. You are judging me. Okay? We're judging with grace, we call that discernment. Judge without grace, we call that judging. Okay, you see me. You see my life, and you see my fruits of my life. But you will know the person, the real person, nature of the person, by the fruits. It's a simple statement. It's a clear statement, but it is very logical, and it is very, very strong. And it's just God's word. Your life, you will know by your fruits. All of you. All of you. But today in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of his sermon, is it a little bit too echoey? I'm hearing echoing in my ears. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is finishing up his first major sermon of his ministry. And this is Christianity. Do you know this kind of Christianity? Many people don't. So many people went to church for all their lives, but they don't know the Christianity of Jesus that he speaks about in the Gospels. He's really proclaiming the coming and inauguration of his eternal kingdom. The Bible clearly speaks about kingdom. There is the world and there is the kingdom. You either belong to the world or you either belong to the world. Simple as that. Clear as that, right? And this is his manifesto as the king of the kingdom as he came into history and has spoken to you. And some of you have responded and many of you may not have responded. Okay? And I don't want to rule out that possibility because in the church, there are Christians and there are people who need to become a Christian. Always. You either belong to one of the two. And this is, as you see, this is our 35th sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's closing his message. He's closing his sermon. So you know how I, those of you who have been coming to New Heart for some years, you know how I close the message. Let me just share a last thought. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. And what he's doing is, he's really demanding, and I think it is demanding, your response. But from my ministerial experience, many of you don't respond. You just go and then just kind of brush it off and then come back whenever. Many of you do, actually. And that's really sad because you've been coming to church and hearing the truth, but there is no change. No change. Today, may the Spirit of the Lord give you grace and faith so that you can respond. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Can I hear some enthusiastic amen? Could you say amen?
Amen.
He's closing the message and asking your demanding a response, a choice. 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 Two masters, God, money. Two paths, narrow path or wide path. Two kingdoms, world or the kingdom of God. You choose. You choose. You've been hearing this. And many of you don't choose. And how do you know? It shows through your fruits. It shows through your fruits. Okay? You know, we talked about existential response, and it sounds a little, sophisticated, but really means your real person response, your whole life response, all or nothing response. Christianity really is about all or nothing. It's really about all or nothing. If you think a Sunday thing, you're lost. I don't even want to, say it lightly. If you think it's Sunday thing, you're lost. It's like I'm married to Ellen only on Sundays. How ridiculous is that? And you're being ridiculous. Because if you look at the scripture, the way he spoken, way he has lived, what the scripture testifies about what he has done, if you are not responding, you are not responding to his demand. Okay, so you will recognize them by the fruits. Why is he saying such a like seemingly harsh words? Last week, enter through the narrow gate. Did I do that? You did that, right, Joanna? Okay, Joanna, don't disturb me. Okay, enter through the narrow gate. How many of you entered this sanctuary? Would you say amen? If you have not entered, you're not here. If you have not entered through the narrow gate, you're not in the kingdom. Simple logic, but very, very important logic. Many of you still in the train on the way to Montauk. And I've been speaking, get off the train if you want to go to Penn Station. Get off the train. And you say, okay, 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 okay. You get like echo. And you get softer, and then you fade away. So many people fade away. In my years of ministry, so many people do that. Why does God, why does Jesus speak like this? Last week, enter through the narrow gate. Today, you know what he's going to say? If you don't have a good fruits in your life, you'll be cut off and be burned. Ooh, isn't Christianity about love? Next week, he's going to talk about, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And the final week, your life will crash with a great sound. You will. You will. Week after week, four sketches, a small illustration of his point that you need your, he needs your existential response. How many of you say, with humility before the Lord, but with the confidence that you have responded to his calling and his demand to follow? Would you say amen? There are people in this church, you know it. And then there is you. That's how it's going to be separated. At the end, that's how it's going to separate it. I'm not teasing you. I am calling you. Parakaleoing you, as Jesus is calling you. Why is he doing that? Because we talked about in AOG last week, attribute of God, we started 2 weeks ago, because God is love. God is love. When we say God is love, it's not like we tolerate everything. It's not like we say, okay, anything goes. God is not like that at all. When God is love, it's different than God is loving, or God is lovely, or God is lovable. Although all three of them are so true, but it is more than that. When Bible says, when God, Bible states that God is love, his innermost inner being, nature, is love. Everything that he does and speaks, everything that he plans, everything he executes, everything he does is love. He is the source of love. He is the fountain of love. And he is love. So when he says, enter through the narrow gate, that's his calling of love towards you. And you're not listening. Why aren't you listening? Right? Everything he does, his cross was the ultimate manifestation. His coming is the expression of his love. His word that he spoke, and which is the truth, is the expression of his love. And you're not listening. You're not listening. Do you understand that? So that is why God is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Enter through the narrow gate. If you don't, you are heading toward destruction. You're going to be destroyed. Make no mistake about it. If you don't follow Jesus, Bible says you will be destroyed. Today, he's going to say, if you don't bear good fruits, who bears good fruits? Good trees bears good fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit. What kind of fruits do you see? Okay. And he's saying, if you don't bear good fruits, you will be cut off and be thrown into the fire. No, but I went to church all my life. You'll be cut off, thrown into the fire. But my parents are missionaries and pastors. You'll be cut off. Okay? So that's where we are. And today, we hear this Jesus' second sketch and warning. Be aware of the false prophets. Okay? How important is that? Last week, we talked about we enter into Jesus, enter through the narrow gate, following Jesus. And how important it is for you to be careful with false teachers and false pastors and false missionaries and false elders and false Christians. Why is it important? The word false prophets is very easy in Greek. Pseudo prophetess. Sounds like English, doesn't it? It's a medical term, pseudo, which means a lie. Why is false prophets a pseudo prophets? Because they speak lies. Now, I was thinking about this week. Where is that coming from? Father of lies. Father of lies. Who's that? Satan. Now, think with me, which means I could be standing here as a false prophet and speaking lies to you in sheep's clothing. Do you see that? I'm speaking slow. I could be a missionary. I could be a preacher. I could be a Bible teacher. I could be someone who's doing discipleship in sheep's clothing, which means what? Which means it's hard to recognize. They look like pastors. They look like Christians. They look holy. But inside, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. So it is possible that you could be going to a church. We talked about, can you think about this possibility? You could be going to a church for 20, 30, 40 years, listening to the lies, and you become an officer of the church, and you're lost, believing in lies. Think about the possibility. Jesus is warning, again, be aware to watch. The word be aware means absolute, pay absolute attention. Why is that so important? Because your whole life, you could be believing in lies and listening to the lies. When it says it's just sheep's clothing, it's not like Benny Hinn or like, what's his name? Joel Osteen, yeah. Everyone recognized that. They're false prophets. But sheep's clothing means you can't. But you can recognize by their fruits. Okay? That's where we are. And let's look at the today's text, which I think it is an amazing text. Last week, we talked about enter through the narrow gate, which is the beginning. How many of you have entered? Would you say amen? You have begun, and those who have not entered, you have not begun. Let's make that clear. You have not begun. You're on the way to live a Christian life, but you have not begun. Can I make that clear? Look at me, people. You have not begun. Some of you have not begun. You may be delusional, deceived, thinking that you are. Like the next story that we're going to be talking about. But you have not begun. Okay, so enter through the narrow gate. Okay, and today, similar kind of exhortation, warning. It says, be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Okay, the illustration is sheep and the wolves. And the illustration will shift from sheep and the wolves to tree and the fruits. Jesus is doing that. Okay? So be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. But here's an amazing statement. You will recognize them. What an encouragement that is. It's not like we are in a totally defenseless people. When you are born of God, Holy Spirit lives in you, God lives in you, and you will be able to recognize. Would you say amen?
Amen.
You will recognize them by their fruits. And if you notice, the last verse, 16 and then 20, is the same. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Forming a nice inclusio. And he's making a case, illustration. How do we do that? We will recognize them by their fruits. And here is Jesus' is a simple, logical illustration. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Of course not, right? How about figs from thistles? Of course not. And then Jesus states in two different verses the same thing, one with positive way and one with negative way, okay, which is a Semitic way of writing and expressing a statement. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. Good tree, good fruits. Bad tree, diseased tree, bad fruit. Positive expression. And then now he's going to reverse that. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruits. Very, very simple, logical, and yet clear and strong. And then he speaks about the fate of trees that does not bear good fruit. Fate, destiny. Listen to this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Yeah, he doesn't soften up and try to kiss up your ears. He doesn't. It's going to be cut off and thrown into the fire forever. Just like you'll be destroyed. Next week, depart from me. I never knew you. And great is your crash. Why is he saying that? Because he is agape. Because he's love. Can you imagine my children? They're all grown up. But let's say I have a young child. And he's in a danger. He's about to touch something that's going to harm him. Do you think I'll be very, very gentle and be nice to him? Hey, Tim! I'm sorry. Do you think I'll be nice to him? Of course not. Of course not, right? So, false prophets, pseudo-prophetess. Why are they false prophets? Because they are not of God. We're going to look at from the Old Testament what they do and who are attracted to them. There are people who are attracted to false prophets, okay? They are not true prophets of God, but they claim that they are, and they speak God's language, but they are not of God. Do you get that? Okay? And they say they speak on behalf of the Lord, but God has never called them to do so. Pseudo means lie or false or of the word of God and doctrine. In other words, here's an amazing thing. If there's a false prophet, there's got to be true prophets, which means there is some objective truth to the Bible. You don't just say, you could interpret this way, you could interpret that way. Depends on what the culture is. Depends on who's reading it. You can't say that. Bible can be translated into an objective truth. Does that make sense? There is false teaching, and then there is correct teaching, true teaching. I think that's something for you to be aware of. So in the Old Testament, prophets are the ones that God has called, and God has given them a message, and God has sent them to speak to certain people. Oftentimes it is Israelites or God's people, or sometimes it isn't. Okay? But God has called them, God has given the word to speak, and God has sent them to speak to the people. That's God's prophets. But there are false prophets in the Old Testament. There were always a problem. Okay? False prophets were always and will be a problem to the people, and to the people of God as well. And I want to just share a little bit from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 14. When was Jeremiah doing his ministry? Do you know? During the exile. When Israelites were disobedient, chaotic, and God sent them to Babylon into captivity as a judgment. What do you mean? Some of you may not even know what that means, but God sent his people to exile, captivity, into this country called Babylon, which is the superpower at the time, like for 70 years. And Jeremiah was ministering during that time. And during the time, there were a lot of false prophets. And this is what God said to Jeremiah. Listen to this. It'll be very insightful. These false prophets are prophesying in my name, but I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak to you. Do you catch that? God is saying, I did not send them, nor I gave them any word to speak to you, nor I sent to them, but they are doing that. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divinations, and deceit of their own mind. I think it's very clear. They are lying visions. They always talk about visions. They always talk about lying visions or worthless divinations. People knock people down. Do this, do that. But it's all worthless divination. What does that do? Can I just ask you, when someone pray for you and someone get knocked down, what does that do? Think about it, people. Some of you know, many of you know what I'm talking about. What does that do? And they are deceit to their own mind. In other words, they are speaking not of God, but speaking of their own mind. What comes out of, like, false prophet? Let me ask you, is false prophet Christian? False teacher Christian? False pastor Christian? False missionary Christian? They're not Christians. They are of the devil. Okay? Very important. Go down a little bit and chapter 23. This is a little more interesting. So, Lord of the hosts speaks to them, do not listen to the words of the false prophets who are prophesying to you and calling you to vain hope. They always talk about hope that is vain. What kind of hope is that? You will do well. No matter what, there is going to be a peace. There is no judgment. There is no coming of Christ. You'll be fine. You're doing well. Gives a vain hope. And sometimes give you titles. Okay? They speak visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. And here's a very interesting. Who are attracted to these false prophets? Two kinds. Listen carefully. They are continually speaking and prophesying to those who despise the word of God. You despise the word of God. Who does that? Non-believers. People who are in the church, not become a Christian. You despise the word of God. Why? Because the word of God demands your repentance under the lordship of Jesus Christ, your sinfulness, and you hate it. Right? So they are attracted to false prophets. They continue to prophesy continually to those who despise the word of God. And it shall be well with you, false hope. And then secondly, to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart. You don't obey. You follow your own life. Who follows his heart? Unbelievers. Unregenerate people. Let me summarize it for you, okay? False prophets gives false hope, vanity, vain hope. You're going to be well in this world. You know, if you do well, name of God will be glorified and your evangelism will be much more effective. That kind of human thinking, right? And who listens to things like that? Those who despise the word of God. You'll be attracted to that. Now think about it. If there's a church that does not preach the truth, why is Joel Osteen drawing about 60,000 people a day? 60,000. Or millions of people all over the world. Who's listening to that? People who despise the word of God. And these people who are stubbornly follow his own heart. Are you listening? And Jesus is saying, Be careful. Watch out of the false teachers, false pastors, false missionaries, false elders, false deaconesses. Okay? In the New Testament, we come to New Testament. Do we hear about these false prophets? You absolutely do. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus talks about the end times. Okay? When the Bible says the end time, it's not like apocalyptic last like kind of thing, but from coming of Christ until the return of Christ, Bible calls that end times. We are in the end times. We are 2,000 years close to the coming back of Christ than when Jesus has spoken this word. 2,000 years. And this is what Jesus said. In the end times, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. That's you. That's me. Many prophets. Many people go to church listening to the lies. Can you consider the possibility? Your parents, your siblings, your children may go to a church, quote unquote church, and listening to the lies. Like what? That you're fine. As long as you give your best to this church and pray and read and you do this, you do that, and you'll be fine. Those are all lies. Gospel is not about what you must do. Gospel is about what God has done to the hopeless people like you and me. Would you say amen? Okay, and then chapter 24, verse 24 says, these false prophets and false Christs will perform great signs and wonders so as to lead many astray, and if possible, even the elect. If possible, but that's impossible. Why? Do you know why it is impossible? Because God is for us. If God is those elect, which means the Holy Spirit lives in us, and Holy Spirit will make you recognize who's true and false teachers, true teaching and false teaching, and you will be able to recognize. And it's the Holy Spirit leading our life to the end. He's going to try, though, so you must be careful. He's going to try, so you must be careful. Do you remember in Acts chapter 20? I'm thinking about Turkey. Place called Miletus. Paul was on the way to Jerusalem after third missionary trip, and now he's going to be arrested, and he will be taken to Rome. Those of you who know Book of Acts, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you should read it. And he's speaking to the elders of churches at Ephesus, Ephesian elders, and this is the church that he planted, church that he labored, church that he loved, and this is the church that he treasures. And he's saying goodbye to the elders, and it's a very, very emotional and powerful statement. And then he said, basically, my hands are clean because I did not shrink, but spoken the whole counsel of God to my people, but you have not followed the word of God. My hands are clean. I would like to believe my hands are clean, people, because I've spoken this truth to you for the last 15, 16 years. And many of you have not followed. And then he says this, after my departure, savage wolves will come. I know that. To this church, after my departure, he's an elder, he's the church planter, he's the apostle, he's the man of God. But now he's worried, not concerned about the church, because savage wolves are coming. Who's that? False teachers. From outside and from within, the savage wolves will rise and try to take away the sheep that God has purchased with the blood of Christ. It's true. You need to be aware. If you don't, you'll be following them. You're listening to the lies. False prophets are dangerous because it affects your life here and your eternity. False prophets are dangerous. They are dangerous in the Old Testament. They are dangerous in the New Testament. They were dangerous medieval time. We sang Mighty Fortress. I don't know how you picked that song, because that's the song I asked for KM Ministry. Did I ask you? Oh, okay. Martin Luther fought against the entire Catholic Church. There was only one church at the time. But the entire church was false teachers. Yeah. Pope was a false teacher, and he fought against the entire church. You understand that? The whole world is filled with false teachers, and he fought against that. Be aware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. What can we learn about that? They'll come to you. They'll come to you through YouTube. They'll come to you through this missions agency. They'll come to you from seminaries. They'll come to you from readings. They'll come to you from radio ministry. They may come to you from this pulpit. They may come to you. You understand that? And they are wearing sheep's clothing. What does that mean? What am I wearing today? Not sheep's clothing. Nike. In other words, they look like pastors. They look godly. They look committed. They even use the language of the pastors, of godly men. In other words, it's very subtle. Very, very subtle. But here's the truth. It is subtle, but you will recognize them. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And church must recognize them. Elders must recognize them. Deacons must recognize them to protect the church for the raven of its wolves coming from outside and rising from within. And we need to repudiate them and rebuke them with the truth. That's what the church is. Otherwise, church gets all chaotic. And you know what? Enemy will never stop trying. Never stop trying. I mean, I need to be careful, but this church is not without assault like that all the time, from outside and from within. Okay? They come to you, and they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, which means what they really are, are ravenous wolves, and they prey on you. They are the predators. They use you, abuse you. For what? Their own health and money and fame. That's all they care about. Then he turns over to tree and a fruit illustration. That's how you recognize them. Verse 16, he says, you will recognize them. And verse 20 says, you will recognize them. Who's you? Christians. True followers of Christ, who have entered through the narrow gate, who has the Holy Spirit inside. Who is them? False teachers, false prophets, false pastors, false missionaries, false Christian leaders. They all exist. Okay, how do you do that? Here's the, by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Of course not. How about figs from thistles? Of course not. And then he gives same statement, in two verses, one positive, one negative. Every good tree bears good fruits. Bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree, good fruits. Bad tree, bad fruits. Of course. Simple and logical. Yet clear and strong. And say it negative way. A healthy tree, good tree, cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So simple. So logical. Yet so clear and so strong. If you understand this illustration of Jesus, would you please say amen?
Amen.
Absolutely clear, people. You will recognize them. You'll recognize false Christians like that. You'll recognize false pastors like that. You'll recognize false missionaries like that. You'll recognize pseudo-prophetists like that. And then Jesus states the fate or destiny of false prophetess. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It doesn't say every tree bears bad fruit, but every tree that does not bear good fruit. Who bears good fruits? Good trees. Are you a good tree? How do you know? How can we possibly become a good tree? Only when you are abiding in Christ. Jesus is the good tree. He's the good vine. If you're abiding in Christ, you will invariably bear his fruits. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And Bible says, if you don't, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What is that expression? Please look at me. You'll be sent to eternal destruction and hell. That's what it means. Let's not beautify that. Let's not beautify that. Okay? And then he just seals it with the same statement that he said in verse 16. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruits. Okay? So very, very simple illustration. And here's the important question, though. What are the fruits? What are the fruits are we talking about? What are the fruits of a prophetess or teacher or pastor or church leader? Three things. Can I just share? Number one, what they say and what they teach and what they preach, their doctrines. Number two, how he lives his life of morality and the fruits of his life, of his character. Number three, I think this is important, does he or she has a Christians who follow Christ because of them? I think that's very, very obvious. So in 1, 2, 3, one is his doctrine, second is his life, and third is his disciples. Let me begin with the first thing about what does false prophets preach and teach? Listen to me, people. What do they preach? They preach Jesus, but never preach about holiness, righteousness, sin, repentance, judgment, and coming of Christ, and eternal kingdom. They don't preach it. They will never deny it, but just in passing, they will say it. They will never preach about your sinfulness, and they will never really preach about you need to repent today and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because it's going to offend you. They don't want to offend you. They want you to stay. They want you to stay so the church could be established, you could give so that we could pay the rent, so I could make a living. That's false teachers. Do you hear me? They will never talk about judgment of God. They will never talk about, yes, they will never talk about holiness of God. They will never talk about righteousness of God and the judge of God, wrath of God. But you know what they will talk about? They will talk about love of God without all of these. They love you no matter what. No matter what. You know, you are not a sinner. You need to be healed. They talk about healing a lot. Can we think about that for a second? What's the difference between healing, being healed, and repent? There's a major difference. Healed has that connotation that you've been offended. You are a victim. Whereas repentance, you are a offender to God. So you are a sinner. You are offended to God. So you need to repent. Here, you need to just be healed. Major difference. Without any repentance, without any true commitment, without any true devotion, you could just come to church and give, and you're a Christian, you're good. False teachers. They will never talk about something that will make you uncomfortable. Avoid preaching on doctrine of final judgment, his return, and his resurrection. You know why? Because you can't talk about prosperity then. You can't do that. Okay. They assume your Christianity, and they talk about do this more, do this better, do this right. Pray more. Read more. Go to missions. Give more. All about you do more. Whereas the gospel speaks about what Christ has done and why he had to do this. Do you see the difference? You must see the difference. Otherwise, you listen to the false teaching, and you don't even know the difference. Okay? So listen to their teaching and their doctrine. Instead of preaching and explaining what Christ has done, who he is, his like substitutionary death for a wretch like me, they're always talking about healing. You need healing. You need comfort. You'll be rich. Never talk about return of Christ. Never talk about lordship of Christ, kingship of Christ, submission to Christ. Second fruit is their life, of course, their moral life. True Christian, now look at me, people. If I'm a true Christian, there is a Spirit of God lives in me. Would you say amen? Yes. And he will not leave me alone. He will change my life. My life has already been changed. My nature has changed. My heart has changed. My spirit, my desire has changed. My world has changed. That's what it means to be a Christian. Right? If that is what it is, I mean, you're going to see the difference. But these false teachers are not Christians. These false Christian, false teachers and false missionaries, they're not Christians. So there is no love for the truth. There's no love for the kingdom. There's no love for the lost. There is no passion. There is no desire to see kingdom go forth. There's nothing. You really don't know what they're doing during the week. You really don't know what they're doing during the year. It's a mystery. And then, boom, there's a moral failures. Boom, there's all kinds of failures. All kinds of disasters. Because Holy Spirit is not living in them. There's no fruit of Holy Spirit. No true character change. But they love money, immorality, and cannot have a controlled, self-controlled life. Lastly, third fruit is fruit of his disciples. Is there anyone who's following Christ because of his ministry? Is there anyone that follows because of this missionary's ministry? Is there anyone that follows because of his leading of Bible study? There's got to be a fruit. You do this for a whole career, and there is no Timothys and no disciples. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? I want to just close, okay? Would you look at me? You ought to attention. You ought to pay attention. Are you a true Christian? You will know the tree by the fruits. Same logic applies. What you say you believe, and your life, and your fruits. Here's the conclusion that I want to just share from Jim Boyce, who is the who passed away, how many years ago? Maybe 20 years ago? Yeah, 30 years ago. He was the pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church. 10th? Yeah, in Philadelphia. And he was the towering leader of evangelical churches of the West, just like John MacArthur, who passed away this week. These are my teachers. They don't know me, but they're my teachers. I've been reading them. I've been reading their sermons, reading their books, listening to them, not because I worship them, but because of their high view of the Scripture, authority of the Scripture and the Gospel, and their unwilling to waver and to compromise to the truth. I've been listening to them. And he's Jim Boyce is a Presbyterian pastor, but listen to him. He's vicious. Okay? Listen to him. It is an error to suppose that a person can be a genuine Christian without doing good works, since a Christian has the life of Christ within, and Christ's life will always express itself in doing good through your life, in other words. And this is especially true of teachers. Progress in Christian life is often slow, and new believers may be far from producing much that is unmistakably good fruit, but teachers must. If the teachers are not living a high level of Christianity, are not producing good fruit, they are false teachers and wolves. This man is a godly man, speaks like a lamb. But he writes things like this with conviction. James Montgomery Boyce. Yes, some Christians, young Christians, their fruits may be slow, their growth may be slow, but teachers, they must not. There's a different level of standard, and the Bible says that. You're preaching all the time, you're teaching all the time, you're devoting your life to the Word of God. You must have fruits through your life. Teachers must. And if the teachers are not living in high level of Christianity, I don't know exactly what that means, but you get the feeling. High level of Christianity and not producing good fruits, they are false teachers and they are wolves. Okay? And then he concludes. Let me put it this way. Does the teaching you receive from New Heart, you've got to listen to it like that. Does the teaching you are receiving satisfy your soul? Does it bring you closer to God? Does it equip you to live for Jesus Christ at home and in your place of work? Does it make you less selfish? Does it prompt you to help and serve others when you have an opportunity to do so? If it does not, find the teaching that does. You get the point? Don't vegetate, people. What about your parents? What about your spouses? What about your children? Same thing. Find a place where the teaching takes root and flourish in growth and spiritual satisfaction. The only instruction that will ever satisfy you in this way is accurate Bible teaching. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Absolutely, people. Absolutely. Be aware of false teachers, false Christianity. Are you a true Christian or false Christian? Pseudo-prophetess. Pseudo-pastor. Is that Spanish? I don't know. Pseudo-missionary. Pseudo-elders. Pseudo-deaconesses. Not you. Pseudo-deacons. Pseudo-Christians. It'll definitely be separated. It'll definitely be separated. How do you do that? You could recognize now by their fruits. Let's pray.